4. Once aboard the Night Spire, Lila barely said a word. Kel would have been thrilled. She spent every moment trying to learn Arnesian, cobbling together a vocabulary. But as fast as she was on the uptake, it was still easier to simply listen than engage. The crew spent a fair amount of time tossing words her way, trying to figure out her native tongue. But it was Alucard Emery who found her out. Lila had only been on board a week when the captain stumbled across her one night, cussing at Castor, her flintlock, for being a waterlogged piece of shit, with its last bullet jammed in the barrel.
"Well, this is a surprise."
Lila looked up and saw Alucard standing there. At first she thought her Arnesian must be improving, because she understood his words without thinking. But then she realized he wasn't speaking Arnesian. He was speaking English. Not only that, but his accent had the crisp enunciation and smooth execution of someone fluent in the royal tongue. Not like court climbers who fumbled over words, offering them up like a party trick. No, like Kel or Rye. Someone who had been raised with it balanced on their lips. A world away in the gray streets of Lila's old city, that fluency would mean little. But here it meant neither of them were simple sailors. In a last-ditch effort at salvaging her secret, Lila pretended not to understand him.
"Oh, don't go dumb on me now, Bard," he said. "You're just becoming interesting."
They were alone on the stretch of ship, tucked beneath the lip of the upper deck. Lila's fingers drifted to the knife at her waist, but Alucard held up a hand.
"Why don't we take this conversation to my chambers?" he added, eyes glinting. "Unless you want to make a scene."
Lila supposed it would be better not to slit the captain's throat in plain sight. No. It could be done in private. The moment they were alone, Lila spun on him. "You speak ink," she started, then caught herself. "High Royal," that was what they called it here.
"Obviously," said Alucard before sliding effortlessly into Arnesian. "But it is not my native tongue."
"Tuck," countered Lila in the same language. "Who says it is mine?" Alucard gave her a playful grin and returned to English.
"First, because your Arnesian is awful," he chided. "And second, because it's a law of the universe that all men swear in their native tongue, and I must say your usage was quite colourful."
Lila clenched her teeth, annoyed at her mistake, as Alucard led her into his cabin. It was elegant but cozy, with a bed in a nook along one wall and a hearth along the other, two high-backed chairs before a pale fire. A white cat lay curled on a dark wooden desk, like a paperweight atop the maps. It flicked its tail at their arrival and opened one lavender eye as Alucard crossed to the desk, riffling through some papers. He scratched the cat absently behind the ears.
"Asa," he said by way of introduction, "mistress of my ship."
His back was to Lila now, and her hand drifted once more to the knife at her hip. But before she could reach the weapon, Alucard's fingers twitched, and the blade jumped from its sheath and flew into his hand, hilt striking against palm. He hadn't even looked up. Lila's eyes narrowed. In the week she'd been aboard, she hadn't seen anyone do magic. Alucard turned toward her now with an easy grin, as if she hadn't been about to assault him. He tossed the knife casually onto the desk. The sound made Asa flick her tail again.
"You can kill me later," he said, gesturing to the two chairs before the fire. "First, let's talk."
A decanter sat on a table between the chairs along with two glasses, and Alucard poured a drink the color of berries and held it out to Lila. She didn't take it.
"Why?" she asked.
because I'm fond of High Royal, he said, and I miss having someone to speak it with. It was a sentiment Lila understood. The sheer relief of talking after so long silent was like stretching muscles after poor sleep, working the stiffness out. I wouldn't want it to rust while I'm out at sea. He sank into one of the chairs and downed the drink himself, the gem in his brow glinting in the hearth light. He tipped the empty glass at the other chair, and Lila considered him and her options, then lowered herself into it. The decanter of purple wine sat on the table between them. She poured herself a glass and leaned back, imitating Alucard's posture, her drink braced on the arm of the chair, legs stretched out, boots crossed at the ankle, the picture of nonchalance. He twisted one of his rings absently. A silver feather curled into a band. For a long moment they considered each other in silence, like two chess players before the first move. Lila had always hated chess, never had the patience for it. Alucard was the first to move, the first to speak.
Who are you?
I told you, she said simply. My name is Bard.
Bard, he said. There's no noble house by that name. Which family do you truly hail from? The Rosic? The Cassin? The Loreni?
Lila snorted soundlessly, but didn't answer. Alucard was making an assumption, the only assumption an Arnesian would make, that because she spoke English or High Royal, she must be noble, a member of the court, taught to flash English words like jewels, intent on impressing a royal, claiming a title, a crown. She pictured the prince, Rye, with his easy charm and his flirtatious air. She could probably have kept his attention if she'd wanted to. And then her thoughts drifted to Kel, standing like a shadow behind the flamboyant air. Kel, with his reddish hair and his black eye and his perpetual frown.
Fine, cut in Alucard. An easier question. Do you have a first name, Miss Bard?
Lila raised a brow.
Yes, yes, I know you're a woman. You might actually pass for a very pretty boy back at court, but the kind of men who work on ships tend to have a bit more...
muscle? She ventured.
I was going to say facial hair.
Lila smirked despite herself.
How long have you known?
Since you came aboard.
But you let me stay.
I found you curious.
Alucard refilled his glass.
Tell me, what brought you to my ship?
Your men.
But I saw you that day. You wanted to come aboard.
Lila considered him, then said, I liked your ship. It looked expensive.
Oh, it is.
I was going to wait for the crew to go ashore, and then kill you and take the spire as my own.
How candid, he drawled, sipping his wine.
Lila shrugged.
I've always wanted a pirate ship.
At that, Alucard laughed.
What makes you think I'm a pirate, Miss Bard?
Lila's face fell. She didn't understand. She'd seen them take a ship just the day before, even though she'd been confined to the spire, had watched from the nest as they fought and raided, and sailed on with a fresh bounty.
What else would you be?
I'm a privateer, he explained, lifting his chin. In the service of the good Arnesian crown. I sail by the permission of the Maresh. I monitor their seas and take care of any trouble I find on them. Why do you think my High Royal is so polished?
Lila swore under her breath. No wonder the men had been welcome in that tavern with the compass. They were proper sailors. Her heart sank a little at the idea.
But you don't fly royal colours, she said.
I suppose I could.
Then why don't you? She snapped.
He shrugged.
Less fun, I suppose.
He offered her a new smile, a wicked one.
And as I said, I could fly royal colours, if I wanted to be attacked at every turn or scare away my prey.
but I'm quite fond of the vessel, and I don't care to see it sunk, nor do I care to lose my post for lack of anything to show. No, the spires prefer a more subtle form of infiltration, but we are not pirates." He must have seen Lila deflate, because he added, "Come now, don't look so disappointed, Miss Bard. It doesn't matter what you call it, piracy or privateering, it's just a difference of letters. The only thing that really matters is that I'm captain of this ship, and I intend to keep my post and my life, which begs the question of what to do with you. That man you knifed on the first night, Belse, the only thing that saved your skin was the fact that you killed him on land and not at sea. There are rules on ships, Bard. If you'd spilled his blood aboard mine, I'd have had no choice but to spill yours."
"You still could have," she observed. "Your men certainly wouldn't have objected, so why did you spare me?"
The question had been eating at her since that first night.
"I was curious," he said,
staring into the calm white light of the hearth fire.
"Besides," he added, his dark eyes flicking back toward her, "I'd been looking for a way to get rid of Belse myself for months. The treacherous scum was stealing from me. So I suppose you did me a favor, and I decided to return it. Lucky for you, most of the crew hated the bastard anyhow."
Asa appeared beside his chair, her large purple eyes staring, or glaring, at Lila. She didn't blink. Lila was pretty sure cats were supposed to blink.
"So," Alucard said, straightening, "you came aboard intending to kill me and steal my ship. You've had a week, so why haven't you tried?"
Lila shrugged. "We haven't been ashore." Alucard chuckled.
"Are you always this charming?"
"Only in my native tongue. My Arnesian, as you pointed out, leaves something to be desired."
"Odd, considering that I've never met someone who could speak the court tongue, but not the common one."
He trailed off, obviously wanting an answer. Lila sipped her wine and let the silence thicken.
"I'll tell you what," he said, when it was clear she wouldn't follow him down that path. "Spend the nights with me and I'll help improve your tongue."
Lila nearly choked on the wine at that, then glowered at Alucard. He was laughing. It was an easy, natural sound, though it made the cat ruffle her fur.
"I didn't mean it like that," he said, regaining his composure.
Lila felt as though she were the color of the liquor in her glass. Her face burned. It made her want to punch him.
"Come keep me company," he tried again, "and I'll keep your secret."
"And let the crew think you're bedding me?"
"Oh, I doubt they'll think that," he said with a wave of his hand.
Lila tried not to feel insulted.
"And I promise, I want only the pleasure of your conversation. I'll even help you with your Arnesian."
Lila wrapped her fingers on the arm of the chair, considering.
"All right," she said. She got to her feet and crossed to his desk, where her knife still sat atop the maps. She thought of the way he'd plucked it out of her grip. "But I want a favor in return."
"Funny. I thought the favor was allowing you to remain on my ship, despite the fact you're a liar, a thief, and a murderer. But please do go on."
"Magic," she said, returning the blade to its holster. He raised the sapphire-studded brow.
"What of it?"
She hesitated, trying to choose her words. "You can do it."
"And?"
Lila pulled Kel's gift from her pocket and set it on the table.
"And I want to learn."
If she was going to have a chance in this new world, she needed to learn its true language.
"I'm not a very good teacher," said Alucard.
"But I'm a fast learner."
Alucard tipped his head, considering. Then he took up Kel's box and released the clasp, letting it fall open in his palm.
"What do you want to know?"
Lila returned to the chair and leaned forward, her elbows on her knees.
"Everything,"